At last, Dungeons & Dragons and drag queens come together in sensational standalone stories and legendary live performances. This is Queens of Adventure Legends.
Are you ready for the ultimate test? Drag queens on a fabulous quest. The hair snatched and the arms okay. Are you ready for the ultimate game? Fighting evil with the warrior dames. With a sword or a magical scroll. Now sissies at roll. Death traps and death saves. All tea and all shades. Before the gods, yes, queen. Potions and reagents. Sickening radiance. Come and feel the fantasy.
Come and feel the fantasy.
Now we're ready for the ultimate fight. So bring the knives and get your lashes on right.
Thanks for making this show possible with your ongoing support on Kickstarter and Patreon. Patrons get early access to new episodes, exclusive bonus content, and other fabulous rewards. Hi, it's your Dungeon Master, Matt. Today's episode is part one of Enter the Wig Snatch. This story is one version of how four drag queen adventurers, Arsen, Butylene, Freya, and Harlot, first met. This episode was originally broadcast on November 4th, 2018, as a live stream to benefit Extra Life and Seattle Children's Hospital. Thanks so much to everyone who watched this adventure live and helped us raise over $3,000. You'll hear a little talk about the fundraiser during this episode. There's also a few sight gags in this one that might not fully come across on a podcast. If you want to watch the video, we'll have a link at queensofadventure.com. Enter the Wig Snatch was first released as a bonus episode for backers and patrons on January 30th, 2019. This is our first episode of Queens of Adventure Legends. You can help us get this new podcast off to a great start by recommending it to a friend, leaving a 5-star review, or tweeting about the show using the hashtag QOALegends. Now, let us enter the Wig Snatch. Today, we have the very fabulous drag queen cast of the show Queens of Adventure. Hip, hip, hooray. Everybody, let's introduce ourselves, and we'll start here with Freya.
Oh, cool.
Hi, I'm Freya. I'm pretty sure that's all you need. Oh, I'm a cleric. Water Ganassi, Hennessy, whatever you want to call me. I'm here and ready to party. Who's Fantastic. Next?
My name is Arsen Nikki. I am the party's resident warlock, and I like to cast spells, etc.
My name is Harlot O'Scara, and I am your friendly neighborhood rogue. I like taking things that don't belong to me because it makes me feel nice.
Outstanding.
My name is Butylene O'Kipple. I'm a tiefling alchemist, and I lie about everything because that's really fun, and I like to throw bombs.
Yes, indeed. Butylene, at one of our first sessions, started using a potion. I'm like, okay, I'm narrating like what's going to happen with the potion. I'm like, do you actually have that potion? She's like, no, I lie all the time.
It's okay.
To the DM as well. I see how it's going to be.
You just manifested it.
It just happened.
I think I was still making Harry Potter jokes at that point, too.
That's true. Yes, like, yeah. Crossing all of our references. Yeah. So, whether or not you are familiar with Dungeons and Dragons, don't worry about it. Basically, all you need to know is we're going to tell a little story. Sometimes we'll roll some dice. It'll be super fun and super gay, and that's basically what we do. And we're going to also, if you do know D&D, we're going to be going kind of easy on the rules. We're going to be taking some shortcuts on things that generally take a lot longer to do. So, you know, we're going to be speeding right along. So that's why things are a little streamlined on this stream today. This is going to be in the continuity of the Queens of Adventure averse. But you do not need to be caught up at all to follow along, and it will be clear in just a moment when we get started why that is. So don't worry if you haven't listened to the show, or if you have listened to the show, don't worry either, because that means you're an expert on our misadventures. Without any further ado, let's begin.
Yes, let's. I'm excited.
A team of muscular field hands heave on a thick rope, hoisting high a banner in the morning sun that reads, "Welcome to the Wig Snatch Commemorative Fair." Beneath the banner, The field hands busily build tents in a rolling field. Motley rainbow flags flutter in the breeze. Around the field hands are patches of tall grass and the crumbled rocky foundations of old buildings long abandoned. Scattered across the field are fragments of ancient statues. A massive stone ear with an elaborate earring, a pair of stilettos the size of a person and overgrown with wildflowers, and the fingers of a massive hand, mostly buried, with just a few manicured marble fingertips protruding from the earth.
Ooh. I mean, like, what kind of manicure are we talking about? Is it, like, almond-shaped? Is it, like, full-on witch
it's just
nails?
A classic
Is
French.
It, like, a good old Jersey duck nail? Like, what are we working with here?
At one point, it might have been quite sharp, but the years have worn down the marble exterior of the nails, so now it's a comfortable nesting place for birds. And,
I can relate.
Yeah. We've all been there. The years have not been kind. The chipped, you can see the marble was once painted a bright color, but it's the paint is all chipped away. Acid rain has washed it up. Anyway, as the morning wears on, townspeople wander in from the adjacent village of Weavington Hollow. Their curiosity piqued, they wander between tents and rickety wooden stalls to gaze at vendors selling beeswax lipstick and wigs made from the brightly colored foliage of the nearby forest.
Ooh.
Dotted through the small crowd are some aspiring performers. Drag novices in colorful, though hastily assembled outfits, they hurry to a booth marked Contest Registration and are then escorted into tents. It is inside one of these tents that four individuals now sit before a halfling with a clipboard. Well, okay, most of the contestants arrived with their teams already in place, but since you all came on your own, we're just going to put you together. I hope that's okay. I just need to jot down some details. Could you tell me who you all are and where you're from?
I totally forgot what town I'm from.
You're from Oceania.
Okay, that. See, I just like any kind of water creature, I have the memory of a goldfish. I have the attention span of a goldfish, too. I'm from
Does that also mean you'll grow to the size of the tent that we put you in?
Probably. More than likely. That's me.
All right, I'll make a note of that.
My name is Freya. I come from Oceanica. I made this gorgeous outfit out of the seaweed that I dragged along with me each time that I crossed an ocean when I was coming here.
Oceanica's so far away. I'm so glad that you made the journey. What do you do there?
Well, I am a cleric, and I just kind of pray a lot to a lot of people. Mostly Cher.
Ooh.
Mostly Cher. We shave our heads and wear wigs. It's great. Mostly just, you know, to Cher. She wears a lot of wigs. It happens.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you're out here. I'm glad we have someone representing Cher in the group. Who else do we have?
Present and accounted for. My name is Arson Nikki, and I am a warlock who comes from the Underdark. I am an urchin who has been fighting for survival year in and year out, and even among the other urchins, I do not seem to fit in. So I've made my escape from the Underdark by binding myself to a patron so that I may carry out greater doings outside of the Underdark.
Well, welcome. I hope the daylight isn't too disturbing for you. I hope it isn't too painful for you to be out in the sunlight.
You know, with a good 70 plus SPF, anything is possible.
I just like slathered head to toe.
Yes, in more ways than one. Makeup and otherwise.
Right. She uses zinc oxide for her base.
Yeah, like three primers, yeah. Just like ready
just
to go.
Just a lead base just to make sure none of the sunlight gets through. But since you're a dark elf, it really doesn't affect your system.
Hello, hi, it is me.
You're thoroughly shellacked. It's all we can ask in the world. And who else? Who do we have here? Now, you two arrived as a group.
We did. My name is Harlot O'Scara. I come from the kingdom of Sknorf, just next over. I was raised in the lap of luxury in the court and learned a little bit about history. I really enjoy long walks on the beach and stabbing people in the back. But I needed to get out. I needed to see more of the world, and I needed to get away from home.
I can tell you're from someplace fancy with that, those courtly airs, that way that you speak. You certainly have that, have a way about you. And what a lovely necklace you've got there.
Oh, thank you. I took it just yesterday.
Who did you take it from?
That. I don't kiss and tell.
Oh. She just tells.
I just tell. There's actually no kissing involved. There was just I just plucked it, you know, from a low hanging tree branch.
Ooh,
yesterday.
Okay. Well, those skills
named the The Duchess. Duchess of Tree Branch.
Oh, Duchess Tree Branch.
Duchess
oh,
Tree yeah. Branch. You got it out of me. I did take it from Duchess Tree Branch.
I rolled I saw right through you. How about that?
Not a very good liar, but I'm great at snatching things.
Well, that'll come in handy here at the Wig Snatch Tournament. And who's your friend?
Hi, my name's Bielino Kippel. I was a backup dancer for Lady Gaga for her first two albums. But I just got sick of like being in the background, and I ran into Harlot one day at a concert, and I just kind of fell in love, and so we've been hanging out ever since. And I get to cash in some of the things that she steals from people, so that's basically how I pay my bills right now.
Yeah, wow, I'm a big fan of Lady Gaga, the most famous baby in the realm.
Yeah, go Gaga.
It looks like you brought a lot of chemistry with you.
Yeah, I am an alchemist, so you know I like special effects and things with glitter and pyrotechnics, you know, that sort of thing.
Wonderful. And she's been making notes and keeping track of all these details on a sheet. And she's like, well, I'm glad that you seem like you're really prepared. You've all got some special skills and some kind of gimmicks and stuff. So we're going to I think we've got really good chemistry here for you. No pun intended. for you all to enter the contest. Do you have any questions about the contest?
Is this a paid gig?
Are there drink tickets?
Well, of course, you're going to be competing for some fabulous prizes. This is, of course, the first Wig Snatch Memorial Fair in centuries. So we wanted to make sure that there was an incentive for performers from all around the neighboring countryside to come. So we've got a small cash prize for the winner of the contest and a package of drag supplies, just the kind of thing that an aspiring new performer and queen could want to get their career off and running.
Season one, I love it.
A lifetime supply of sickening cosmetics.
So I'll be yes from Anastasia. Anastasia, she's a troll who lives in the hills.
Yeah. Oh, the Beverly right. Hill. I know it. Yeah. I know this.
That's her wife, Beverly Hills. So I'm going to be accompanying you through the competition and making sure you get to all the different events from time to time. And I'm going to be really pulling for you guys. I really hope that you all win because I'd love to see you really make a name for yourself here at the fair.
Will we be judged as a team or as individuals?
As a team, of course. This is a commemoration of the works of the legendary great queens, and they all work together.
Smashing.
Pumpkins.
I'll smash you if you don't pull your weight.
That's the
spirit.
She has
no weight to pull.
It's true. She weighs like 110 pounds soaking wet.
Plus tax.
So yeah, this will be a test of all your abilities to exhibit the skills possessed by the great queens of legend. And I'll be making sure that you get to all the different events on time. My name is Bunbury, by the way. Bunbury Shagfoot.
Not Lady Bunbury?
Well, maybe someday. I'm just a humble farmer by day, festival volunteer on the weekends.
Work sickening.
So here we've got some competitions, some different categories for you. And let's see, we've got various events that you can participate in. I'll just hand out the little menu for you all.
Ooh.
There's a...
Is this the cocktail menu?
Yep, so you'll each be participating in these as a group, and you'll be winning a point for the entire team with each of these. Yes, indeed. If you let me know if you need to read any of these aloud to just sound out what kind of things you'll be participating in.
I would like to volunteer as tribute. Okay.
Can we take turns?
Sure. Let's go down the line and share our thoughts.
You go. After that, there'll be a nice some nice tinglomancy. Tinglomancy, if you're fancy.
This first category is share your knowledge, and that is spelled SHARE, your knowledge.
Yes, indeed.
We also have oral interpretations.
Yes, we do. And you also mentioned the Tinglomancy, which is one of our most exciting events.
We also have share your knowledge, spelled C-H-E-R. Share.
Oh.
Deed, you might be a good one. You might be good at that.
I almost said H-E-R, by the way.
Harlot's probably going to like the purse first category. It makes it easier to snatch them.
Right.
Walk into the room.
Usually you have your head turned the other way as well for effect.
We have a platforms category. I'm assuming that involves both political platforms and 8 to 9 inch platforms. Yeah. So we shall see.
We also have, I'm feeling very attacked right now.
We're gonna have to roll to see who performs in that one. I feel like we could all take that.
Probably.
Who's got the highest attack roll in here?
Well, in fact, we are going to be rolling because you can choose these in whatever order you want, but we're going to decide, we're going to figure out who gets to choose which challenges you do based on some rolls. So everybody, roll a d20.
Fantastic. It's,
a mini challenge to see who gets to 12.
14.
Yeah. 5.
11.
Oh.
All right. So, Freya, that was a 12. Arson, you got an 11.
Mm-hmm.
Butylene.
14.
Butylene got a 14. And Harlot.
A big old 5.
5.
Congratulations, Butylene. You are the winner of this challenge.
That means, Butylene, you get to choose which of these 7 challenges the team does first. What's it going to be?
No
pressure.
I'm drawn to Tingleomancy myself.
Okay, let's do it. That's one of my favorites.
Feeling very tingly right now.
Come on, right this way. And
oh gosh.
Bunbury heads out of the tent and across the field. You're passing by various townspeople who kind of glance in your direction. They're not paying you too much mind. They're just taking in all the sights and sounds of the fair, the birds swooping overhead. It's a beautiful day here on the field. And you head across the fairground to a sunken grassy depression in the field. It's about 20 feet across. And it's covered by a shimmering, translucent blue dome. You follow Bunbury through the barrier, and the sound of the field and the fair behind you immediately cease. And Bunbury leans in, and she says, it's a barrier of silence. No sound can pass through. At the center of the dome is a rickety table with a box and an elf wearing long robes. He says, how do you do? My name is Amos. Amos Amar. We Amarian elves have remarkable hearing, as you may have heard. For us, certain quiet, comforting noises generate a particular tingling sensation on our neck and scalp. Your challenge as a team is going to be to elicit that tingling sensation. You can use your voice, your hair, your clothes, or any of the items in this box. And you'll want to focus your sounds into the magic amplification devices on the surface in front of you.
Ooh.
We'll each have 20 seconds, and I'll be judging you based on your ability to elicit my tingling response. And we're going to start with Butylene, because I believe you are the one who chose this challenge.
So, quick question, Mr. Amos. Are you famous at all?
Quite. He just munches a cookie and winks. I'm going to give you a point of inspiration for a pandering reference.
Oh, thanks. I have a point.
Yes. And the way that we do inspiration, in case you haven't been following the show, is players can collect inspiration and then spend those points to give themselves advantage on a roll or counteract disadvantage.
I found a foundation brush.
Very good. I'm glad that you're digging in there. So he says, if you're all prepared, if you're all ready to begin, we will start at the end of the line with Butylene. You'll have 20 seconds. On your mark, get set, begin. Marvelous. I'm transported. Wonderful. Next in the initiative order, I'm afraid we have the delightful Freya. Freya, are you prepared?
It's childproof.
I mean, maybe.
Have you been stymied by the magical barrier on this device?
A little bit. Okay, I think I'm ready.
The invisible cellophane barrier.
It really is. All right. Now, Freya, if you're quite prepared, let us begin. Oh. He leans backward, blissful. What an experience. Never have I heard such a sound since the time I just dropped a whole bunch of beads on the floor. And BT Dubs, point of inspiration to Liam the Last in the chat, who guessed the challenge before we even got here. Just based on who do we have next? Yes, let's see. Looks across at Arson. Arson, we'll go to you next. Are you prepared?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Today, we are going to be handling this spatula.
Oh, wonderful. Ah, I can't resist a good spatula. I love it.
Accuracy is what I aim for.
Oh, and I love the romantic twist at the end there. Very compelling, very compelling. And, of course, finally we have the delightful Harlot of Scarra. What have you prepared for us?
ASMR actually makes my skin crawl. It makes me want to jump out of my skin and scream at salads and look children in the eye and say, "Why didn't you do your homework?"
Oh my stars, this is taking a sinister turn.
What does it do to you?
Oh, he is just like draped himself over the little counter in front of him now. He's heaving, he's panting. He's like, yes, yes, a point to your team. You have done well. Thank you. Oh, marvelous.
I'm upset right now.
I'm very mad.
I'm upset at myself. I want to look children in the eye and say, why didn't you do your homework?
Oh, that sketchy got goosebumps from that one. Uncle Deadly enjoyed Arsenicki's Jug Band Christmas.
I'm feeling very Thorgy Thor when she got stuck with... Stevie Nicks for that challenge. I was like, what the fuck am I going to do with this? I can't even open it.
You do not get stuck with Stevie Nicks, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, Stevie Nicks would have been perfect.
Bestowed, yes.
Bestowed.
A box full of grab.
Oh, no. Dice Ref Gemlin said it froze. Harlot, could you repeat it froze momentarily? Oh. What did you say when you look children in the eye?
Hang on. I got to get back into character.
It makes me want to look children in the eyes and say,
why didn't you do your homework?
R.I.P. headphone users.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, I love
oopsies.
You.
There's people on treadmills, Harley.
I just
want
to make sure they can meet their
You just made
right.
Someone on a treadmill fall over.
All over the world, people just like falling over on the bus. The gym. Court, for some reason.
I hope someone's listening, watching this in court. I'd be honored.
Beautiful.
Overruled.
And so Bunbury has been standing back and she says, you're amazing. You're naturals at this. Oh, I'm so excited. You got your first point for the team. Well, so next in the an initiative choice order, we've got Freya. Which challenge would you like to do next?
I mean, I would do share your knowledge, but let's do purse first.
Okay. We're going to head over to purse first. And so you bid a fond farewell to the elf who's still just kind of like heaving and hyperventilating. He just waves listlessly. And you head across the field again. You pass by crowds of curious onlookers making your way through the fairgrounds. You can see that a wooden plank has been laid across two hay bales, like a desk. And behind it sits a man in what appears to be a merchant's suit stitched together out of rags. And he says, welcome. One of the skills of the great queens was that they could negotiate impressively high booking fees. For this challenge, you must prove that you have the same skill. Prove that you can obtain the highest possible rate for a gig. I'll be judging you based on how well you can negotiate.
I'm way better at haggling down.
Well, as a venue owner, I'm delighted to hear it. Let us begin. Now then, I have a big show coming up, and I'm looking for talent. Our budget is a little tight, but it would be my pleasure to offer you all exposure.
Listen, I am a celebrity impersonator. I don't do exposure. I don't do things just for photos. I've been doing this for 12 and a half years. I deserve some coin.
If you are a celebrity impersonator, please demonstrate.
Okay, well, I do Madonna. I do Lady Gaga. I do a little Cher.
Oh.
I do Christina Aguilera. You know. I mean, those are just four out of the thousands. And you just got a taste.
Show
them
your Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet's back. Don't sue me.
Oh, how exciting. And I love, by the way, that this is basically like a little recreation of Robin Williams' scene from The Birdcage. Like, yes. Roll a performance check.
Okay. Oh, God, please, good. Bad rolls. fuck. Sickles. Fudge.
I will give you advantage on this. I'll give you advantage because you did demonstrate.
Demonstration. This is going to be really hard.
Turn those bad rolls into bank rolls.
That was a three on the first roll.
Right,
so let's
see
what we do.
Three. Oh, gosh.
Well, what's your...
Even better, seven.
It is better. Yay! What's your performance modifier? Here at level one. Oh, a whopping plus zero.
Oh, God.
He looks a little skeptical and he says, well, I've seen better. What else have you got? Prove to me that you're worth this fee. I do like a celebrity impersonator, but I have to tell you, we've got a lot of share these days.
Do you? I mean, she's not dead yet, so not everyone's doing her like Michael Jackson.
She's a goddess. She's immortal.
Well, there you go.
And she tweets a lot.
She does tweet a lot. I can do Bette Midler.
Yeah. And the rest of you, what else do you bring to this show?
I am dedicated to performing numbers that have one joke and one joke only that require tons of commitment from the start to the end. For instance, I have in the past covered myself in glue to the Pussycat Dolls' Stick With You and had tips stuck to my arms. I've done a Lexi Featherston from Sex and the City number who falls out of the window at the end of an episode, and I do a master mix of all the times in which the word falling happens in Free Falling.
Is it just the word falling over and over?
Yes, mixed in with dialogue. Thank you very much.
Conceptual. Intriguing.
Yes, there is nobody in town who does that particular oddly specific thing like I do.
Well, so then if not exposure, what is your rate? Any gold pieces, silver pieces, copper?
It absolutely must be in gold pieces, and I am 3.5 years stone cold sober, so none of this drink tickets business. It has to all come from that, and I don't factor tips into my fee either. It all has to be up front, and if I get a tip, great, but it's not what I'm looking for.
Oh, dear. Well, let's have you roll a persuasion on that, and I'll give you advantage on this one as well, because that was a very persuasive case.
Well, that was an 11 plus 3, so that's a 14. Mm. And that was a 3 plus 3, so that was a 6.
Well, okay, with that 14, he says, well, I suppose I could say a single gold piece for the group. I might be persuaded to raise my rate just slightly for you.
I would like to give this person the elevator eyes up and down and be like, fine.
He seems a little chilled by the elevator eyes.
Shady pan shot.
I'm going to give you another roll for intimidation with those eyes.
Yes.
Well, I rolled a 2 plus a 5, so that's a 7. Okay. Not very intimidating.
I'll give you advantage with this one as well. As long as, you know, because you're taking a real active role in this negotiation.
Oh, well, and it's they're going up and down, too. This elevator is the fastest elevator.
It's the Tower of Terror?
Yeah, it's the Tower of Terror.
Well, that was a 7, so that was a +5, so that's a 12. So marginally more intimidating.
he takes a step back and he says, "All right, a gold piece and four coppers for you to split amongst yourselves. How does that sound? Is that satisfactory?"
You can't split a gold piece four ways.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we've got room for in the budget, unless you have some other terms you'd like to propose.
I do, in fact. I am a professionally trained wig stylist, costumer, and wardrobes person, so any damage or wear and tear to costumes within the troupe would be easily taken care of by your on-house person. However, I must tell you that I do require a costume stipend for every performance. And my rates are not cheap. However, you will have the best show in town, the most smoothly running and bestly dressed show in town, if you have me in your show.
Can you are you indeed a stylist, a wig stylist?
Quite. The hair atop my head grew out of my scalp, and then I styled it myself.
Oh, and you can grow your own hair. Well,
I also grew the hair out and styled the hair atop Butylene's head, or at least one of the two hairs.
Is that true? Do you want to say like that is actually like
yeah.
Harlot the character is a.
Harlot, quite contrary. How does your wig
she does everything.
Cap grow?
She's mysterious and she is full of skills that she doesn't tell you about except for in her backstory.
Do you want to do anything to demonstrate your wig styling skills?
No, because I didn't bring another wig to play.
All right, I'll have you roll persuasion.
I'm like, do I want to turn my wig around? No, not really.
And turn the wig around.
13, is this intimidation or this
persuasion.
Is persuasion? +4, 17.
Ooh, 17. Well, I suppose we can find a little room for a stipend in the budget. And all right, two gold pieces and four copper pieces for the group. Is that satisfactory for you all?
Two gold, 8 copper, and we have an agreement.
Good heavens! What kind of styling do you intend to do?
Looking this good is not cheap. Looking this cheap does not come
not good.
Cheaply.
Honestly,
if you're not a natural blonde, store bought is fine.
The barefoot drag Tessa.
He's kind of drumming his fingers. He's, you know. I wasn't going to go up, but as a slogan for this show, looking this good is not cheap, and looking this cheap is not good, I like that. I think you may be onto something.
I think I'm predecessing another musical frock opera that I might create in the future.
It sounds to me like Butylene has some final words about this, though.
Final thoughts.
I would also like to use thaumaturgy to like gradually boom my voice at the end of the sentence, but I'm just going to look him dead in the eyes and say, you know, in nature, drag queens die of exposure.
Fantastic. I will absolutely have you roll intimidation with advantage.
Kind of like, just going to kind of like...
Stroking the horns.
I feel like that should be a t-shirt.
That is honestly copyright this stream.
That is now copywritten for Queens of Adventure. We are going to utilize it. I'll email it to myself.
TM,
now.
TM.
Thank you.
That's a 9 plus intimidation. 10 total.
Okay, and I'll give you advantage on this one.
All right, thank you. Oh, that's a 5. I'll take the 10.
He's just like glancing at your horns, looking a little wary at them. He's all right, 2 gold pieces and 8 coppers. How about that? Mm. I think that's my final offer.
Can I like stare him in the eyes and do like sink into a slow split with like a bounce at the end? Just like staring at him the whole time.
Just completely silently.
Yeah.
Roll performance. Advantage for this one.
So that's a 16 on the first shot and a 12 on the next one.
Okay, yeah, it is a glorious split. You just like sinking lower and lower and lower. As you go down, you like down, down, down.
Can I assist with a second split?
What? Oh, sure.
Just everyone starts doing the splits.
Well, that was a natural one, so I pop my hands.
You start to
distract
to go down.
I'm just gonna put make out a little rainbow, a little minor light miracle above them to distract from Harlot.
Great. Yes. Harlot like falls backwards to the rainbow. Over. It's like the end of the Muppet movie where the rainbow falls over. So there's just a rainbow appears and you hear a thump in the background. Meanwhile, Arson's split went marvelously. You land and a little bird lands on your head. And he says, fantastic. I think we've reached an understanding here. Two gold pieces, 8 copper. Final offer for you all.
No silver?
I mean, what's that in euros? I don't know. I don't do economic math here. I come from a place where we just kind of bartered and gave people shells.
And sure. A few shells as well. Here you go. Some silver shells. And
oh, okay.
He reaches into a breast pocket and hands out some shells to everybody.
You should have asked for silver bells with those cockle shells.
Then do we have an agreement? Some silver shells, some jewelry for you all, and 2 gold pieces? And I'll tell you what, I'll raise it up a little more. 8 gold pieces. You 8 copper pieces, I'm sorry.
Oh, 2 gold pieces. Excuse
you'll just,
me.
Just now, even though you already said you were going to raise it up to 8?
Yeah, you've already said 8 gold pieces.
You're trying to say that what you just said is what you'll now give us now?
Yes, 4 gold pieces, 8 copper, perfect.
Yeah, and he writes down, he's like, yes, yeah, 4 gold pieces, just as we said.
4 gold pieces, 8 copper pieces.
And 8 copper,
don't forget the 8 copper you promised us.
Wonderful. And here you are. And he writes a little, there's a scroll on front of him, and he writes down a few little notes in there, and he's like, I'm glad we have an arrangement here. I'll fill out the contract and the paperwork momentarily. And he has, he says, because you've been so marvelous at this negotiation process, I have a little extra reward for you. Here, I'd like to give you all a potion of healing for you to use in your travels, whatever way you might find useful.
One for each of us? You're so generous.
A single potion of healing for the group. Oh. Enjoy. And of course, a point for your team.
Yay.
Okay, 1 point. Woo.
Thank you, Pointer Sister.
Hi, it's your DM, Matt. We're going to have short announcements like this in the middle of episodes. I wanted to let you know that if you're in Seattle, you can see us live at Rebar on March 12th, 2020. And if you're in San Francisco, you can see us live at Oasis on March 25th and 29th. Tickets are available at queensofadventure.com. And just a reminder, if you're enjoying this podcast, you can help get it off to a strong start by recommending it to a friend, leaving a 5-star review, or tweeting about the show using the hashtag QOALegends. If you tweet about the show using the hashtag QOALegends, we may use your name in an upcoming adventure. Thanks for listening, and back to the show.
And Bunbury's been sitting back, and she comes forward and she says, oh, you're doing so well. You've got 2 points for the team now. This is so exciting. And he really seemed to like you. You got that potion of healing. So who's next? I think, Arson, you get to choose next.
I chose...
Careful, girl.
To wear platforms.
Ooh.
Today.
Oh, you're wearing actual platforms.
So I'm going to take it as a sign that we should choose the platforms category next.
Okay. So you are going to head across the field over to the platforms challenge.
It smells like kismet.
Oh, is that what it smells like? Yes. Kismet the Loxodon is here. yes. Oh, Kismet the Frog, says Liam the Last. Perfect.
Is that Kermit's, like, cousin from India?
Yes, yes. Kismet the Frog, and he'll become a prince. And so let's jump back over to our adventure. Bunbury is leading you across the fairground to some trees growing over a muddy patch where a meandering stream has left the ground marshy and wet. There's some large boulders in the mud here with a wooden plank set between them. On the far side of the plank on a boulder, there's a rickety trapeze dangling from the tree branch above. Beyond the trapeze, there is a flat wooden stage with a crate that's about 5 feet on all sides. And a voice suddenly booms out, "Welcome to the Gauntlet!" And a woman in a ringmaster costume steps out from behind a tree, bellowing into a paper cone. "Can all 4 queens make it to their gig on time when the most fearsome obstacles in the realm stand between them and their venue?" She points to the plank between the boulders.
One of you must cross the perilous path. And she points to the trapeze. Another must sail across the terrifying trapeze. She points to the crate. Another must jump from there. The death-dropping box of doom. And she gestures back to the group. And she says, and the last must provide moral or magical support to the team from afar. Now, each of you, please choose your challenge, your starting position. One must be on the boulder to cross the plank. One must be on the trapeze. One must be on the death-drop box, and one to offer support. And we will start with Arson.
Is she going to jump from there?
As a very magical person, I would, and as someone who has very low dexterity and acrobatics and athletic types of checks, I would like to be the moral slash athletic supporter.
I love a good athletic supporter.
Fantastic. If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
Precisely.
We will put you on the position over here, off to the side. And so she guides you just off to the side of this gauntlet that they've arranged. It looks pretty ramshackle. And she says, and who's next in the order? Ah, yes, Harlot. Harlot is next in the order.
I'm feeling quite piratey today, so I think I'll walk that plank, especially because I have the highest dexterity in the group.
Outstanding. Up you go. And she helps you up onto that the first boulder across from the plank. And she says, and beautifully, where would you like to be?
I'll take the trapeze for 500, please.
Trapeze for beautifully.
Also, want to copyright Drag American Gladiators right now, because this is what this feels like.
Yes. She takes you around the side to the boulder and helps you up to the end. That plank is laid from one to the other. You see Harlot on the other side, and you're standing on the other boulder with the trapeze just above your head. And she says, and Freya, that puts you at the death-dropping box of doom.
Well, I am death-drop gorgeous, so bring it on.
Yes, and beware on the death-drop box. Beware of the terrible beast. And as you're stepping up onto the stage.
I mean, Butylene's right here. I'm not terrified.
As you step up onto the stage, you see they're just like lounging in the sun on the box. There's just a house cat, a tabby, with like a lion's mane just sort of like taped around its head. Very fearsome, this attack creature. And it just like rolls over on its back to, for its belly to be patted.
I start sneezing.
Your chemicals attack me, you feline devil.
And she says, all right, we're about to begin. But of course, one more thing. As my voice careens from accent to accent. It's all part of the fantasy, you see. And one more thing. You must all complete your challenges in heels. Did you all bring your own heels?
I mean, always.
Wonderful, wonderful. You're all wearing heels, of course.
All of us.
I was born in heels.
We have loners in case you need them. Good, good, good. All right. Well, then, let us begin. And so, Arson, is there anything that you want to do to get the show going?
Yes, I would like to cast my Dancing Lights cantrip.
Ooh.
And I would like to, it's not going to be the most spectacular thing in the world, but to the extent that it will allow me to, I'd like to cast like a nice little fireworks illusion to start things off.
Wonderful, wonderful. There's just bursts of color and light dazzling, and the ringmaster with the paper cone goes, she looks up at them and, ooh! I'm going to give you a point of inspiration for that.
Thank you. I'll shout from the distance, go get 'em, girls.
Beautiful.
You kind of look like a soccer mom right now, too, so it totally works.
From the stands.
We're off to quite a start. And then we've got Harlot next in the order to cross the plank.
All right. I'm keeping the tune in my head. This is the rhythm of the night. And I'm going to start walking out on the plank and doing my small, like, balance beam routine.
Okay. I'm going to have you do a, I'm going to say, acrobatics check for this.
Very well. The night. Oh, yeah. 17 plus 7.
Ooh. Oh, my.
The rhythm of the night.
With the fireworks flashing around you, it's like the music. DeBarge is here with you. Flotilla DeBarge, the drag queen. And
she's the most difficult one to do hair for, you know.
And here at a place where we can dance the whole night away, please describe what you do across the balance beam.
Okay, so I take like three... like gazelle steps out, do a full double pirouette over the left shoulder and stick the landing. I do one of those Britney Spears, like, down where your legs are both at 90 degree angles in the grand squatte, and you like move your whole torso around. And then I do it again, but as I come to the bottom angle of the torso, I do a no-handed cartwheel, also known as an aerial, and stick the landing off of the balance beam onto the other boulder or wherever the ending is. I didn't actually remember where that is, where I'm supposed to go.
So you flip and twirl all the way across that beam. It's rickety, but it's bouncing under you.
I'm like a slackliner.
Yeah. It's like effortlessly. And you land in a pose right next to Butylene at the far boulder. And Butylene, you are up next to flip your way across that trapeze and land on the stage near Freya.
Ooh, I'd love it. I would like to summon 100% pure love to start playing in the background.
Right.
That's just a minor auditory miracle.
Sure. Yeah. Are you using like a spell? I think, do you have thaumaturgy there?
Of course I do, yes. and I'm going to ascend to my, basically like a big swing. Sort of like get my motion going, you know, and then I'll like swing so that I can get like standing on the little seat, mm-hmm. and then do a full on like, you know, interpretive dance, maybe like, and then,
we're going to have you roll acrobatics as you are doing that. So let's go for
it. I'm doing like interpretive dance on my swing. And then I want to do one of those things where you like suddenly drop. So you're upside down.
Well, let's see if you can get up there.
Let's see if I can get up. Natural 20.
Oh, hey. Okay. That is precisely what happens. It's an amazing twirl from back to the middle and around again. You float up. It's like you're just weightless onto that trapeze. And describe your dismount.
I'm going to be there till the end.
You're just going to stay on the trapeze forever.
Yeah, so before I dismount, I flip upside down, so I'm hanging from inside my knees, from my knee pits, and grab one of my little colorful vials that I know exactly where it is, and it's secure until I pull it out, of course. One of my colorful little vials, and as I am swinging off and doing... three turns in the air, a triple sow cow, if you will, in the air. I crush my vial and throw it, and lavender puff of powder appears and then turns into glitter as I do a perfect 10-point landing.
That's fantastic. And it's not like, I was expecting like some magical thing, but it's just like a lavender scent. It's just like nice.
Yeah, it's just nice, very pleasant.
It's a bath bomb that you have to have with you.
This is my first gig at this venue. I want to make a good impression.
That's, yes, perfect, perfect. It just like the glitter descends as you land next to Freya on the box. The cat is like, meow. Freya, what would you like to do from that box?
So... I'm going to start by, anything, like any theme song from Paris is Burning is starting to play right now. and I'm going to take one of my bracelets and cast light on it.
Okay. Ooh.
And throw it into the cat box.
Ooh. the cat box. So you're standing on a crate. There's a cat next to you. Are you like...
Oh, yeah. So the cat just goes away.
Are you trying to throw the bracelet to as a
distract.
Decoy to distract the cat?
Yeah. I'm not a cat person.
Okay. So that's your trick. You cast a light on a bracelet like She-Ra, basically?
Just,
like,
yeah.
Throw the bracelet at the cat and it'd probably move, which is terrible, but...
Out of my way!
Animal handling. Roll animal handling.
Two. Hey, she me. Doesn't so have the her cat's animal just gonna start permit. Like rubbing up against my leg.
The cat has been startled by that bracelet, and it shrieks and claws its way, runs up your leg, and it's just like claws are dug into your dress right now.
Okay, cool. So I'm just gonna take my leg and I'm gonna put it up over my head, and I'm gonna start like jumping and turning all the way to the edge of this box. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just going to, like, fall and death drop down.
Okay.
Beautifully landing into a, you know, just a splat.
But we'll see how you land.
Yeah, I know.
How do you roll advantage
I've been rolling terrible rolls.
Roll acrobatics.
Oh, Lord.
I'm surprised you didn't, like, shape water to, like, make the form of an icy corpse at the bottom of the box that looks like you. So
I
like
summon a waterbed.
Right? Oh, 13 plus 1 is 14.
14, it's okay. Terrible. It's a quite nice little death drop.
Oh, sorry.
Go for it.
I was going to say, as she does, can I, like, redirect my dancing lights to create, like, a hoop for her to, like, fall through, ooh, like, gloriously as, like, she descends?
Just a burst of fireworks around the box.
Yeah, it's like a circle, and she just, like, drops right through it.
Wonderful, wonderful. You land, like, in a death drop with your leg off to the side, and the cat is just, like, curled up on your chest, like, just nuzzling you at this point.
And I let out a giant sneeze.
Just attacked by allergies at this point.
One point of allergen damage.
Where's my EpiPen? Wait, we're in America. They cost $600 here.
Roll for sinus damage.
And just as you land, you hear a round of applause, and you see that a few townspeople have gathered around the stage. They've all been watching. They've been attracted by the fireworks and the sound of sneezing. And they are just beside themselves, like, big, like, wow, they're great. These queens are fantastic. And the ringmaster says, well, I have to say, you've outdone yourself. This is the best performance I've seen, and the most unpredictable. Seems like old Boots, he's really taken to you. And the cat is just like nuzzling you, Freya, very happily. And she says, it is my pleasure to award this team a point.
Yay.
Congratulations. And Bunbury heads over and says, oh, you're doing so well. You're doing so well. You must be a little tired. So there's probably a little time for us to take a quick break. And that goes for everyone watching at home as well. We'll take just a quick break here. We'll head over to the refreshments tents and just powder our faces and whatever we need to do.
Interior illusion tents.
Mm-hmm. yes, we'll do some interior illusions. Oh, that sounds filthy. And as you're heading across the field with Bunbury to just freshen up and take a quick break for our viewers at home, you just see off in the distance from the forest that surrounds the field, a flock of birds suddenly takes flight as though something might have startled them. You are still crossing the field, looking around at the fair, the wig snatch commemorative fair happening around you, and Bunbury says, well, it's 3 challenges down, 4 to go. Who do we have next? I think, was it Arson who chose last?
Yeah, sure did.
I think me.
We have Harlot.
And I think since we've been all reapplying our lips in the interior illusions tent and sipping on our monstrous beverages, we might have to go for an oral interpretation.
Okay.
Ooh.
Well, so Bunbury says, oh, right this way, and leads you off to the side of the fairground, where there is a slope, a gentle downward slope in the side of a hill.
Not the first time I've been led past a fairground. Yeah. Behind.
In heels, down a hill.
In the mud. Oh, God, that does not sound fun.
There are stone steps set into the hillside to form an amphitheater, a semicircle ring of seats that look down onto a small oval stage with broken pillars on either side. A handful of villagers sit on the steps, chatting quietly with each other, and a few glance your way as you descend towards the stage. And sitting in the amphitheater's front row are 2 humans, one smiling broadly at all of you, and the other with a dour frown. The one with the frown speaks first and says, oh, so good of you to come. No, really, I'm delighted to see you. And the one with the smile says, welcome to the oral interpretation contest. Now, we want to see you whip this audience into a frenzy through the power of spoken word.
Oh, no.
We're going to give each of you a bit of poetry, and you're going to need to deliver it dramatically, intensely, as powerfully and forcefully as you possibly can, and we shall evaluate you based on audience response.
Bring it on.
I feel like this is Simon Cowell and Tim Gunn just sitting next to each other.
Audience so participants, work, please, ladies, do not hold any heavy dumbbells, small children, or pit bulls above your head, please.
This is going to be Bring It On, with your voices.
You're giving the person who's terrible at cold reading spoken word. This is going to be great.
So here's how this is going to work. You're each going to get some lyrics. These are real lyrics from a real pop song. These are real lyrics from a real pop song. You're going to have to sell them to the judges with your most intense, dramatic delivery. And we're going to go in the same order as before with the initiative order. And that means we're going to start with Harlot and just run down. We're just going to start there with Harlot. So the judges are now looking at you with intense eagerness, and the stage is yours.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
You specifically. Are you ready? Okay. Come on, girls. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. This here's your anthem. Better listen up. Don't sit back. Come, do it with me. I don't care if you're a pig, duck, or a pup. You, the best you there could be. You can rock it, and I know it. Don't just hold back. Come on, let's show it. Yeah, you and I, we're gonna touch the sky. Let's go, 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 go!
The townspeople sitting on the steps of the amphitheater are suddenly, like, snapped out of their conversation. They're looking up at you with interest and curiosity.
Because I farted.
You punctuated a little bit. And next we've got Butylene.
We were born with superpowers. If we join forces, all is ours. The moon to the stars, to the flowers on Mars, because there's flowers there. Let our minds expand past the world around. We gonna jump real high. Yeah, you better believe it. Yeah, you and I, we gonna touch the sky. Let's go, go, go.
There's a smattering of applause, and a few of the townspeople are wiping away some tears from their eyes. And the humans who are watching you, the judges, say, thank you, next.
You can rock. You and I know it. Don't just sit back. Come, let's show it. Yeah, you and I, we're gonna touch the sky. Let's go. 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 Because you and I, we can touch the sky. Yeah, you better believe it. Won't you move to the side? Put our jump on high. The dreams we want, we'll achieve, M girls.
The audiences, some of them are clapping, some of them are snapping. There's an avuncular townsperson with a little black beret on.
So many turtlenecks.
A few of them are standing up, and they've got like just wide eyes, and they're so engaged. Finally, Arson, they turn their gaze to you.
First of all, I would like the audience at home to note that as a poetry nerd, I decided to mark out all of the scansion of the entire paragraphs.
Come
that
on,
I have
quadrameter.
A reference to use. This does not follow any regular meter, let me tell you that, which you're about to find out here in a second. Him.
Trends. We don't need them. And the gossip down the hall, we don't feed it. Be the best you there could be instead of being the same of three. Be the best you there could be instead of being the same of three. Be the best you there could be instead of being the same of three. Be the best you there could be instead of being the same of three.
Wild applause as you conclude. The audience leaps to its feet for 16 and one half minutes of thundering ovation.
That's a long time. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Also, this sounds like we're casting some dark summoning ritual or
right?
something.
Is this I Georgia? Know-
and did the lights go out?
What song is this?
Freebird. Yeah, I think it's Freebird.
It's the hardest song in rock band.
So we'll take just a quick interlude to acknowledge the hard work of Crazy Kitty. Anthem is the name of the song, I believe. This is a song by the team that is responsible for the movie Air Bud. They tried
oh, God.
Yes, puppy dogs that are superheroes that also play basketball.
And go to space and play soccer and t-ball and whatever other movies that they have.
I don't know if you recall, but it was almost exactly 1 year ago at our Halloween show last year that I think it was at that one. It was the Christmas show, yes, that we made Arson lip sync to the song without any preparation.
Yeah, that went about as well as you can possibly imagine that went.
So this song is generally sung in the music video by a talking cat. And you're correct that you have cast a spell, and like you just hear like a cloud pass in front of the sky, and like a shadow sweeps over the amphitheater. And there, as people are clapping, there's just sort of a darkness, and you hear meowing as cats like stream past you.
More thunderous sneezing.
More thunderous sneezing from Freya.
Is it like when you leave the PlayStation on? It's just like meow, meow,
meow, meow. Every time I leave the PlayStation on, Butylene's like, the cats are working overtime again.
We're not getting paid hourly.
The judges are thrilled. The one with the big smile says, well, you've outdone all the other competitors. It is my pleasure to offer you this token of our appreciation. Please accept this a point for your team. And the one with the big frown on his face says, yeah, that was real great. I've never seen anything like it.
Here you go. Put a cork in it, Cowl.
And he hands over a scroll. And you can see this is a scroll of magic missile, which means that it's a spell that you can cast once, although the scroll will be destroyed upon casting. But you have a scroll of magic missile now.
Sick.
Bunbury's like wading through the cats as they're just like streaming across the amphitheater stage. And she says, oh my gosh, I can't believe how good you are at this. Okay, we've got three challenges left. And back up to the top of the order here with Butylene. Which one do you want to do?
Since Oral's been taken, I'm just going to say I'm feeling very attacked right now.
Okay, I'm feeling very attacked. You make your way back up the steps of the amphitheater, people clapping for you as you go, and you make your way across the fairground again, waving to everyone.
Oh, hello.
Matt, every time you say make your way, you must complete it with downtown.
There's a wandering minstrel in the fairground with a harpsichord that's being pushed on a little platform and just goes, deedle dee deedle dee dee as you pass by.
the faces pass and you're
faces
homebound?
Faces pass you by, you're homebound.
We're homebound?
Deedle dee deedle dee. And there's a clearing in the middle of the fairground where wooden logs have been arranged in a ring with spikes pointing inward. Bunbury helps you climb over this wooden fence, and you see in the ring some barrels, some crates, there's some muddy patches in the well-trampled grass. At the center is a man wearing black and white stripes, vertical stripes. Next to him is a large object covered by a drop cloth. And the man in the stripes calls out as you approach, ah, some new challengers have appeared. Gather round, everyone. The show is about to begin. Interested townspeople head over to the ring. They're peering over the wooden fence at you. Yes, the great queens of legend were skillful protectors, employing feats of physical and magical combat to defend the downtrodden from any who threatened them. Can these four brave beauties best our beastly brute? Let's hope so for their sake. Yikes!
I'm feeling very attacked right now.
Also, I love that I feel like I'm in the middle of whatever that sport they play in The Legend of Korra.
Like the professional announcer. Bending.
Yes. You sound like the professional bending director!
He claps you all in the back as he moves away, and he says, good luck, I'll be judging your combat skills. Don't hold back if you want that point for your team. And with that, he scampers to the fence and throws himself over. There's a groaning grumble from the drop cloth, and it starts to shake, and the cloth drops to the side, revealing a battered suit of armor. You can see the helmet is empty, but an unsettling red glow emanates from within, and it slowly raises its metal arms and stomps in the mud. Roll initiative.
Alphonse.
Four.
Plus a one for you.
15.
Ooh, Butylene gets a 15.
Mm-hmm. 22.
22 Harlan.
Natural 19.
Arson gets a 9.
Arson gets a 9.
And he said
we're
in a circle, right?
Yes, you are in a ring surrounded by wooden fence with spikes pointing inwards. There's some crates and barrels, some mud in the field.
My favorite store. Yes. Are we shopping for fancy interior design accoutrement?
There's some sofas that are just priced a little too high. Just a little more than they're worth. And yeah, so that suit of armor is probably about 15 feet away from everybody. And we are going to start with Harlot.
So this is like a medium-sized suit of armor? Is it gigantic? Is it?
Oh, it's not gigantic. It's definitely, it's large and imposing.
Like
it's
big enough for me to fit through its legs?
You can fit through its legs, sure.
I think that I'm going to dash straight for between its legs and do like a slide so that I'm behind it on my next turn.
Okay. Are you going to attack it as you go? Or are you just like zoom
I'm totally going to just like take one of my daggers and its inner thighs as I run through.
Okay. So we're going to start with the with your attack there. So roll your attack. It's a plus
five.
I'm
going to do
this
with my rapier, actually.
Oh, okay. You're going to do your rapier.
Yeah.
Plus five on that.
14 plus 5 is 19.
Okay, that is going to hit. Go ahead and roll your damage. 1d8 plus 3.
4 plus 3 is 7.
Okay, 4 plus 3 is 7. So you're going to do 7. Woof, 7 points of damage. So you jab your, it was your rapier, you said?
Yeah.
Where are you hitting him?
So I literally sprint towards him and like dive between his legs. And as I'm diving, I turn over my shoulder and grab my rapier and let it just scrape the inside of his left leg.
Okay, yeah, it makes a loud clang as your metal connects there, and you said you're.
I want to slide and follow through, and like so it, on my next turn I can be behind him.
Okay, yeah, you're sliding past his leg. So let's see.
It's like a Dukes of Hazzard, but if the car was actually a giant suit of armor and I wasn't touching it at all, except for with my sword.
Okay, and so you're just hanging out behind him. So yeah. you're staying right there. Okay, so no opportunity attack for him on that one. Do you want to say anything? You do that?
Wearing that arm, all that armor will slow you down.
Okay. Chilling voice echoes through across the field. People around you, the townspeople are cheering and shouting at you. And next we've got Butylene.
Can I do just like a quick investigation to find like the weak points of the armor?
I'd say
just like a quick like scope it out.
Yeah, it's pretty like you can see this is pretty rusty, battered armor. It's definitely been like put through the ringer. It's been used. People have definitely been other teams have been fighting with it already. It looks like it's got some particularly bad dents in the helmet. One of the horns is kind of like it's got horns on the helmet. And one of them is like busted off and lying to the side. Let me have you roll an investigation check.
Okay. There's only room for one pair of horns in this brand.
Exactly. Coming from my look already. That's 13 plus 5, 18.
Ooh, 18 investigation check. Yeah, you can definitely tell where its points of vulnerability are. I would give you advantage on your next attack roll.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to kind of like circle around in front and like in like a semicircle, you know, kind of like scoping back and forth. And then I'm going to use one of my acid vials.
Great.
And I've decided that I'm going to go for the right knee and I'm going to throw an acid vial at the suit of armor's right knee and hopefully like, you know.
Let's see what happens. Go ahead and roll your attack.
That was a natural one.
Okay. So, good thing you checked first.
Yes, good thing. 12 total.
Okay. So you're going to toss that vial of acid over at his leg with the 12. That is not going to hit. So it just goes slightly off to the side, and he like jerks his leg up, and it just like sails like off the side and splatters on the grass, leaves kind of like a smoldering, smoking
schmear.
Let's say a schmear on the grass there.
The grass has turned to cream cheese.
But it is now like.
It was lactic acid.
It's like sizzling right next to him, and it looks like that acid is still kind of it's still kind of gross. It's still like doing like some chemical effects. It's like smoking up next to him on the field. let's see. And next, it is going to be the suit of armor's turn, and he is very aware of you, Harlot, standing there behind him. So he's going to roll. 17. What's your armor class?
15 right now.
Ooh.
Okay, so he turns and just like slams into you, the glow like intensifies within the suit of armor. You are going to take.
It's a real glow from within.
She's making a baby.
Well, there's no body inside of it, so this suit of armor has obviously been subsisting off of inner light.
5 points of bludgeoning damage.
Fudge! We have that healing potion, remember?
Grumbledina is my name now.
Okay, sure.
No, don't.
That's, yeah, you've had so many names.
This is the origin story. This is the first new alias.
So, oh, okay. This is like your very you never forget your first alias.
Right. Never forget your first alias.
Alias is a show about a spy. Okay, so he like jams you with it, one elbow, and then he jabs you with another elbow, and he's gonna roll. Ooh, it's gonna be a 9 on that one.
Doesn't hit me.
So you just like weave out, dodge to the side, and the elbow just like swooshes over your head, and you can hear like the thundering like. Rumble from within the suit of armor is growing more intense. And who do we have next? We have Arson.
I'm going to do what any self-respecting warlock at level 1 would do in this situation. I am going to run in the opposite direction 30 feet and then use my Eldritch Blast.
Okay. Fantastic. Let's
get
do
some
it.
Distance, but also right. Get some damage. You know what I'm saying?
Roll your attack on the Eldritch Blast.
That's a +5, right?
It is a pretty good roll on Eldritch Blast. Like, yep, +5.
Cool. Well, I would like to use my point of inspiration for advantage on this.
Absolutely. Well, let's have you roll first, and let's see if you want to use it.
That's a 6 + 5, so that's an 11. So
I would love to.
That's a 13 + 5 = 18.
That will just hit.
Heck yes.
Describe how you cast Eldritch Blast.
Well, so since this is an origin story, what I want to do is like cast like a really like fierce like arm movement and like do like a sharp sort of snap at the end of it. But because I am of the more, how should you say, fairy type, I can't really like do like a really sharp snap movement. All I can do is a limp wrist at the end. So that's what happens. And as it happens, I take note and I go, you might want to use this later. But yeah, that's how it ends up, is in a limp wrist movement.
Arsenicki inventing the limp wrist.
You're welcome.
And a crackling of eldritch energy blasts out from your limp wrist across the field. Go ahead and roll your damage.
What's your damage, Heather? So I rolled a 3.
Okay. And the bolts of energy surround the suit of armor, and it kind of like vibrates for a second and tries to like hold its place, but you can see it's like pushed back a little bit in the mud, the slippery mud of the field. And it's starting to look a little dilapidated. It was already in pretty bad shape, but like it's shaking and shuddering, and now it seems like it doesn't have quite as much control over its movements as it did before.
And to finish off my turn, I would like to just bat my eyelashes a few times and smile.
Oh, it's so innocent, so pure and naive. She's harmless except when you get her angry. Who do we have next? We have Freya.
Okay. So how far away am I from him?
About 15 feet.
15 feet? All right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to... what do I want to do? Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run towards him, and I'm going to do a leap and a full above him.
Okay.
So I'm going to jump and I'm going to do a full twist. Mm-hmm. And as I do this, I'm going to do create and or destroy water. And I'm going to create water, but fill him up inside and freeze it.
He's already rusted.
So that it'll slow him down.
Let's see. So you want to create water
inside of the armor.
Suit.
And then freeze it.
And freeze it.
Or just create frozen water inside of him.
I'm not sure.
I mean, I don't know. Is that allowed?
You are new at this.
Or just fill him up with water. Who cares? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you could definitely create the water, but I think freezing it would be a second action.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew this would happen.
I know, right? You know, I kind of anticipated as well. Yeah, so we're going to have you fill him up with water. I love this so much.
Filling it up.
Freya's actually an omega-level mutant. She hasn't, like, attained her full Phoenix Force yet.
Right.
Yeah, with Creator Destroy Water, you can create up to 10 gallons of water within an open container. I would say, yeah. He is an open container. He's got his visors up on the suit of armor. And
he's an open container.
No one inside.
I mean, I'm an open container, too, and empty inside, so it's okay.
So yeah, like suddenly, like little like spurts of water appear like around his ankles, squirting out, and then up around his knee joints and around his hips. And there's like little, he's just a bit leaky, basically.
Aren't we all?
He's kind of like weighed down by this and shuddering, and it's hard for him to move because like as he's swaying and like you can hear the sloshing from inside. And I'm gonna say he'll have a disadvantage on his next attack because of that.
Okay.
Got water on the brain and the knee and the elbow.
Just water and everything. Hip. Yeah. Swimmers everything. and any catchphrase for that?
I'll fill you up, baby.
Okay, great. Harlot, you are up next, and followed by Butylene.
So is this gurgling mass of metal...
He's still like right next to you.
Back... Is his back to me, or is he...
Oh, he's turned to face you.
He's turned to face me.
Mm-hmm. You're getting doused now a little bit by the water.
It's
like spraying out.
I'm leaking a little bit myself because I'm down from 9 to 4 HP.
Uh-huh.
I am going to try and get a little bit of distance away from him. Like, I'm going to... Like, if I run past him, though, I'm going to get an attack of opportunity, right?
He'll be able to attack you if you try to...
Then, all right, yeah. I'm just going to attack with rapier and short sword because that's what I got.
Okay. So. Okay. So let's do it. Which one do you want to do first?
I'll do rapier first.
Okay. 1d10. Sorry. 1d20 plus 5.
15.
Okay. I'll give you advantage on these rolls because he's like sloshing. It's going to be hard for him to dodge out of the way.
Okay. That was an 8. So that one probably doesn't connect.
So yeah, he's like sloshy, but you're also your hands a little slippery from all the water. It's like spraying.
I'm really intent on cutting the water, and I forget that there's a suit of armor that I need to.
Sure, you forgot about him altogether. And so this is your dagger next, I think, right?
Yeah, 15 plus 5, so 20.
Ooh, okay, that will hit. 1d4 plus 3.
3 plus 3 is 6.
Oh, 6 points of damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you give him another jab and like,
right in the shoulder,
and it makes him like slosh back and forth again, and so a little bit of water like just like flies out of the visor, and there's a fish in it for some reason.
It's the fish from Cat in the Hat.
Yes. It's Sean P. Hayes flies out of his visor. That's a very timely reference to a movie from 15 years ago.
God, has it been 15 years?
Is that
years?
Long ago?
Is Let's
it,
not talk
is,
about it.
Is it the one fish or is it the two fish? You know what I'm
is
saying?
It red fish or blue fish?
Shut up. And you do get a little extra damage on that because of your sneak attack feature.
Oh, sweet.
So that's another 1d6.
Let's do it.
6.
Ooh, another 6. Ooh. Let's see.
6, 6, 6 across the board.
Yeah.
Hail Satan.
So the suit of armor is now like shuddering even worse. He's like, his arms keep dropping and he like has to like put on a lot of effort to like lift them back up. But he's really looking like he's losing control. The magic is like the glow inside the armor is dimming a little bit. Butylene, you're up next.
Okay. I'm gonna like sort of like keep my distance still. I'm still like staying at like the 15 feet range. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I'm gonna. It says in my little inventory, I've got some ball bearings, so I think I'm gonna try to have like a little showgirls moment, a little like Naomi Malone, uh-huh. You know,
it's like
a little. Right. It is muddy. That's not going to work. Okay. Plan C. Thank you, my dear. All right. I think I'm going to go in with my crossbow then.
Okay.
Because I'm just nervous since Freya filled the tin can with water that my acid and or bombs aren't going to be very effective.
It's, yeah, there's like a kind of a acidic puddle around his feet at this point. So you want to do your crossbow. That's a 1d20 plus 3.
All right.
And again, I'd give you advantage on these because he's not sloshing. Able to avoid you quite as well as he used to.
That's a 9. Ooh, and 14 plus 3 is 17.
So 17's not quite gonna do it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's tough. But so you like shoot that arrow and like one of them just like zooms right past his helmet and it kind of like it clips the side of the helmet and the helmet spins around a few times. So his head's on backwards now. But he hasn't lost any hit points. He's just looks a little goofy. and so he's up next. And now Freya and Harlot, you are both standing on opposite sides of him because you ran up to him. So Harlot, he's going to try to, with disadvantage, he's going to try to like elbow you. So he's going to roll a... Oof. Okay, 2. So the elbow just kind of like wobbly, like misses you.
You're getting sloshy.
He's getting sloshy. Poor sloshy the armor. Freya, that's going to be a 7 plus. It's going to be an 11 and a 15. What's your AC?
Oh, 17.
17.
Look at you go.
Look at your cleric armor class.
Well,
and everything.
So this is a pretty, forceful attack that he's got on you here. Describe to me what you do to, like, just dodge out of the way of it.
Well, I'm just going to do a cute little backbend.
Just like a little limbo.
Yep. Like, great. Not quite Matrix, but just a little...
Back walkover.
Yeah, back walkover.
It's very, like, Exorcist.
Yeah.
After his much. Head just spun around.
Down the stairs.
Okay,
and
so
I just like go over, like as soon as his arm goes across my body, my feet go over and just like do, and I stick the landing, and he doesn't touch.
You're like a capoeirista.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Let's see, we've got Arson up next, followed by Freya.
Spoiler alert: I'm going to use my Eldritch Blast again. I will say,
it's a real
like,
crowd pleaser.
Honestly, like as much as like not variety as this is, like I do have a +5 attack bonus on it, and it is my biggest attack bonus. And this thing has a freaking huge armor class, so we're just gonna go for it. If it works,
measured success.
You know it.
And just the memes alone are worth it.
For real.
All right, roll your attack. 1d20 plus 5, I believe.
This better work.
And advantage on this because of all the water.
Yep. Well, I rolled a 13 plus 5, so that's an 18, and it sounds like that might connect.
I think it very well may. Oh, goodness. We just noticed that the table was, collapsing.
That could have been a disaster. I too, am collapsing.
We're all taking damage right now.
Right.
All right, so let's have you do your Eldritch Blast, 1d10. Please describe your casting gesture now that you're an expert.
Okay, so now that I have it figured out, I'll play it to my advantage. So I like wind it up like it's going to be a big thing and then stretch my arms out and then like wait for it like Rocky Horror Picture Show anticipate.
Say it.
Patient, and then
fantastic. And so once again, like just a bolt of like crackling eldritch energy, and it's as though in slow motion, all the townspeople around are like, ooh, as it like flies across the field, the bolt of energy like shoots directly through the suit of armor. It staggers backwards, and for a moment, just complete total silence, and then a few little like holes flap open in the suit of armor and it starts watering the field like a watering can around it, like a sprinkler just right. And the suit of armor looks down. He's kind of like puzzled by this and he just turns in a circle and he's like kind of like wandering around the field, watering it very nicely. Everybody around you is clapping. Hooray. Hooray. They're delighted. The suit of armor staggers off into a corner and just like falls over.
This is a very like eco-friendly Death Becomes Her moment.
Right.
It is. The field was a little patchy and dry before, but now it's we're doing
very
little,
watered and lush.
Yeah, it's lush. Like flowers could sprout here now. We're Zeriscaping basically. The person with the stripe, the black and white stripes, like peeks back over the fence and he's like, I can't believe it. Our heroes have done it. They've defeated the enchanted armor. Wonderful. wonderful. Everyone's shouting and yelling, and people are holding up signs that just say "Yay" on them.
Your Yay, makeup is terrible.
Yes, yes, yes. Suit of armor makeup looks terrible. Others are holding up like little crude drawings of you. It says, "You're beautiful. You're a model. You look like Linda Evangelista."
Did you stone those tights?
And he heads over to you and he says, "Outstanding. Well, I think we can tell that the future holds great things for this team, starting with this point for the Miss Wig Snatch contest. Congratulations. My honor to recognize your efforts today."
5 total points for Gryffindor.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. And you kind of like scramble back over the fence, and Bunbury's waiting for you there.
As we're like scrambling over, can I use shape water to create just enough dry ice to like have a fog that just kind of like, as we're walking away, the craft
Why don't
you style.
Just create fog, you crazy.
Because fog is everywhere. The dry ice is low.
Yeah, it's not a cube of fog. I will say, I
love the laser bolts that you just shot out of your eyes.
Duh.
Yeah, like clearly.
Don't tell a Genesee how to cast. Thank you for listening to our first episode of Queens of Adventure Legends. Join us tomorrow for the thrilling conclusion of Enter the Wig Snatch. A reminder that you can see us live in Seattle on March 12th, 2020, and in San Francisco on March 25th and 29th. Ticket info is at queensofadventure.com. Tell a friend about the show, tweet using the hashtag QOALegends, and leave a 5-star review. Big thanks to the cast, Arsa Nikki, Butalino Kipple, Freya Love, and Harlot O'Scara. Thanks to Terry Bloss and Cody Shipman for original art, and thanks to Jelki with Tavern of Trinkets for creating illustrations of magic items for our Patreon backers. Thanks to Major Scales and Sam Antonioli for original music. This episode contains tracks from filmmusic.io by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0. Queens of Adventure Legends is funded by a community of listeners like you who make the show possible through their ongoing support on Kickstarter and Patreon. Patrons get early access to new episodes, exclusive bonus content, and other fabulous rewards. And until next time, sissy that roll.